All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
I don't think I'm quite familiar with that phrase.
I'll explain, and I'll use small words so that you'll be sure to understand, you warthog-faced buffoon.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I make this look good.
You are now listening
to the Movie Review Crew podcast.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
All right, welcome in, everybody. This is another edition of the Movie Review Crew. I'm your host, Mike Lucas, and joining me is Aaron Cronican.
Hello.
And Steve Rushlaw.
How you doing?
Guys, we are week 56 into how stupid can Mike get?
You might want to add some weeks to that.
Yeah, wait, hold on. Let me see. We are on episode 369. Nice.
So I'd say week 400.
Something like that.
Well, no.
Because we did a few a week, but yeah, when we this process started well before the podcast. Yeah, find out how dumb Mike is process.
How old am I? Take that age. Yeah. Divide by 50.
Yeah, Mike's parents have been playing that game for 30 years or however old you are.
You know, yeah, I'm not quite 30, but I swear my body feels like it's 30. I tell you guys, I got diagnosed with poor circulation. I am 20. I am 27 years old. I am in shape.
Mike's going to be wearing those sweet, tall, white circulation socks with his strap-on sneakers,
you
New Balance.
I already have a pair. Literally, jeez. I was like, my feet are so cold. My hands are so cold. It's 65 degrees in this house. There's no reason for this. I'm wearing slippers. Went to the doctor.
Envy you. 65 degrees. My wife keeps that thermostat at 70.
Oh, what? That's crazy.
Well, because Leland's room is above the garage, so it's a little bit colder in there, so we got to keep it warm at night.
I could tell you that room is ridiculously cold.
Yeah, the one above the garage?
Oh, yeah. I stayed in that room for about 6 months, and it was during the winter. It's pretty cold.
Well, you know, we got the new furnace, and now it circulates better. So. Well,
yeah. So you can move back in.
I'll keep that in mind if I ever lose my house. But I mean, I keep it at 62. So
yeah. I was keeping it at 65, and then this week I was like, I'm not on city line for gas. I'm on propane, and so you know what? I haven't checked since the start of the winter. I better go check. And it was at like 7%, and I was better go call them. And so it's been a whole week, and they still haven't come out even after I bought. So I was like, let's turn this thing down another 5 degrees and save a little more propane.
Ooh,
gosh.
Yeah, it's supposed to get super cold this week too. So
yeah, so I'm not looking forward to that. It'll be fine though. It'll be fine. But anyway, this is a Movie Review Crew. We talk about movies here.
Yeah, not just our lives.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like we usually talk throughout the week when we game and stuff. And I played, I think, once with Steve this week. And I don't think I played it at all with you, Aaron. So
yeah, you played a few games before you jumped off, remember? Then Dudley had to come.
Didn't y'all win on Wednesday with each other?
Oh, yeah, shoot. I was part of that backpack.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's hard. It's hard to say that we played together. When
I can understand why you forgot I was part of that.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. But no, it just feels good catching up with you guys. Let's move in. What have you guys seen lately? This is a topic that we've been doing for a few months now. I think since actually about a full year at this point. But what have you guys seen lately? A
couple months away.
Yeah.
I'll go. One movie that I don't know how long ago you guys did this, but I gave Carrie a couple options, and she picked Hunt for the Wilder People.
Oh, my gosh. You've never seen that
movie? No. I think you guys watched it when I was trying to finish up school and I was taking a break. It's been on my watch list since 2016 when you guys watched it, I think. And that's a fantastic movie.
That's one of my favorites. I love it.
I think my wife loved it too, except for the dog dying. But other than that, it's a really good movie. The relationship that the kid has with the quote uncle or whatever.
Uncle, yeah.
is pretty good. So if you haven't seen it, I do recommend it. It's really good. And if you missed our episode, you can go on our website. Mike, what's that?
MovieReviewCrew.com. And also, to put that in perspective, how long ago did we do that? This is episode 369. Nice. That was episode 133.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
I mean, if you haven't seen it, though, I mean, Taika Waititi has exploded onto the scene after that movie. And if that's one of the ones... I mean, people know him from the Thor movie, which was huge. And then Jojo Rabbit was absolutely fantastic. And
I think I had it as
people's no worse.
Jojo Rabbit as my number one movie last year.
So good.
Yep.
But
I'm to the point where I will watch whatever he makes. I will watch it. Doesn't really matter what it's about.
I think I have two movies left of his to do. I wasn't on What We Do in Shadows. That's his vampire movie. I wasn't on that and I didn't watch it. That's one of the ones. So
he's
I'm
got
excited.
Another one called Boy that I think is on Amazon.
That's the other
really
one.
Good.
But I think anything he directs is pretty fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. It's kind of crazy because we do these lists of best directors and favorites and et cetera, et cetera. And he's, if you first started this podcast, when we first started in 2016, 2017, wouldn't have been on anyone's list. And now he might be on half of the lists here. It's crazy.
He might be on every one of our, maybe not Matt. I'm not sure how much he.
I'd say at least four. Seen. I'm not sure about Shane and I'm not sure about Matt.
I don't know if he would be on mine. I mean,
no.
Currently working or of all time?
Currently working of all time.
I think you.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. I think at this point you'd have to do currently working.
I mean, if we're talking about only current directors, I mean, he's definitely on mine.
We're doing top five. Top five.
Yeah.
Denny V.
Denny V.
Absolutely.
Edgar Wright. Edgar Wright. Yep. Okay.
Wright.
That's on the list. Perfect.
Sure.
Spielberg. That's, I mean, I will watch.
I mean, he's still working, but he's kind of,
Maybe Ben Affleck. I feel like I'm forgetting a few. I mean,
I'd have to put, Ari Aster, even though the second one, I still am really excited about where he goes. Mm-hmm. And then, what's his name? Robert Eggers?
The
Lighthouse.
Some other names we've talked about, not necessarily on my top five. David Fincher.
Yep. Coen Brothers.
Yeah. Coen Brothers. I'm trying to look through to see some other ones.
I'm just going through and
I know she doesn't have a lot of movies, but Catherine Bigelow.
Yeah. James Cameron. I don't think he'd be on my list.
No.
Oh, what's the guy that did Ex Machina? Alex.
Oh, Garland.
Alex Garland. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, there are so many good working directors.
Well, but but Alex Garland, you know, he's got what, two feature films?
And they were both phenomenal.
Well, not a lot of people liked Annihilation. Trust me.
You know, I heard one.
Okay. I guess Annihilation was, now that I think about it, just okay. But
I loved it.
But Ex Machina is literally one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah. Maybe not of all time, but we're talking the last 10 years. It's definitely top five. Yeah,
I've heard one since the Oscars that a lot of people put in top directors is Bong Joon-ho.
Yes.
Yeah.
Parasite, well, like, I know Aaron wasn't that big of a fan, but that's a fantastic movie.
Parasite might be my least favorite of his movies.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that's not a bad thing, though.
What about Whiplash director?
Oh, Damien Chazelle.
That's what I'm saying. There are so many working directors right now. We are in all honesty, think about this. We're in the point where the competency of the film industry is at an all-time high. So you can have these directors. I mean, Ben Affleck might be one of them, where they have a string of three great movies, and then they don't work again because everybody else is producing at such a high level.
Well, and there's so many. I was one of those when this whole streaming thing started. It's like, oh, straight to streaming. Crap. Yep. But now it's like so much good content on so many different streaming platforms is a good thing because we get so much good stuff. It's a bad thing because it's hard to watch it all.
Yes.
But I mean, one of the things I just watched, The Little Things, I know it's getting great reviews from critics, but user audience score is at 7.28, something like that, out of 10.
It's high, right?
I lean toward that. And honestly, it's a straight to streaming. Well, I guess it's in theaters too, but a movie that I streamed in my house without going anywhere, no theater ticket price, with Denzel, Rami Malek, and Jared Leto. I mean, what more could you ask for? I mean, that's the type of talent that's being thrown into streaming.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's absolutely crazy. Like, we are in maybe not a renaissance of this sort of thing, but we're in the changing of the tides of the film industry, and this pandemic is only exacerbating that. It's wild.
I mean, Aaron said it when this whole streaming thing started. Who would have thought, like 5 years ago, that we would be able to sit at home and be happy?
Well, it's kind of looked to watch now movies on, where it's if you're a director that directs, but now it's like these directors, who can blame them for directing a miniseries? You know, you get, instead of having 2 hours to tell your story, you get 10 hours to tell your story. Usually, from what I read, they give you more freedom to make it the way you want because you're not banking on it being a box office success.
Right.
I mean, and most of these stories deserve 10 hours to be told.
And so this is actually something that I've learned from TikTok, but I think it directly translates, which is kind of insane. TikTok's main principle is like, it wants you to stay on their app. And this is how like social media and YouTube and all these things work. And so think about it. If you can have a 10-hour really great produced piece of content on Netflix, that is 10 hours they're going to be spending on Netflix versus the 10 hours they could be spending
somewhere else
on Hulu or Amazon. And it's crazy.
The talent involved, though, is just I just recently got HBO because I did the 6-month trial. I wanted to see the Denzel movie, and I looked through their list of mini series, and there's such, we started Raised by Wolves, which, I mean, it's a miniseries produced and partially directed by Ridley Scott, a sci-fi. I mean, that's right in my wheelhouse, a sci-fi miniseries. And it's to watch something like that with that talent involved, it's like, man, people think, you know, I was one of them. Oh, it's a streaming service. It's crap. But man, there's so much good stuff.
The days of that are gone. The days of that are gone for sure.
But then it also leads to me flipping through for an hour trying to find the one I want to spend my time watching. Yeah. And then I end up not watching anything.
Yeah, you spent the last 45 minutes deciding what to watch. And now you're out of time to watch.
And it's like, well, now I don't have time. I guess I have to rewatch The Great British Baking Show or something.
Hey, which is also excellently made.
Yeah.
But that was a BBC show, I believe.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that's all I saw was I mentioned The Little Things. That was one I was really looking forward to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not great, but man, I can't believe the scores. The critics are killing it. 48% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 5.6.
Yeah. So one of my coworkers knows that I do the podcast, and he messaged me and he said, hey, I'm about to watch The Little Things. Have you seen anything about it? And I was like, the only thing I've seen are like critics hate it. And I was like, let me know what you think afterwards. And he texted me. He's like, I don't get all these critics, man. Like,
no,
it might not have been like the best movie ever, and it played within its genre, But it was a fine movie, and like,
that's exactly what I thought. I mean, they're talking about, oh, it doesn't do anything new. It's familiar to the genre. Yeah. Okay, it's a cop movie about tracking down a serial killer with, like I said, Denzel, Rami Malek, and Jared Leto. Those are three Oscar winners. It's not trying to be anything more than a really well-acted cop movie. Yeah. I mean, come on.
That's exactly what he said. He's like, I don't, like, everybody wants this, the next movie to be like the newest and most insane thing. And it's like,
yeah,
this was just good.
I mean, haven't we talked about that before, that there's only a certain amount of like movie scripts out there or whatever?
Yeah.
Haven't you said that, Mike? There's only like four, like six or something.
There's like seven basic story ideas, essentially, that, I mean, like man versus man versus himself, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know.
So, I mean, like, we're getting remakes of all these old movies. We're getting this, we're getting that. For somebody to like, oh, this is an original story. Who cares if it's not an original story? If you can change it and make it what it is and have great acting in it. I haven't been able to watch it, but because I've had a busy week, but it's in my list for this week to watch. So I'm excited to watch it.
I would recommend it. I don't know. I don't know what the critics are so bent out of shape about.
Because
one headline I saw was like, why is Denzel in this piece of trash? And it's like, honestly, first of all, the guy's like 100 years old. Let him do whatever the hell he wants.
He's not that old.
In this movie, he looks old. But...
Shane started watching it the other night, and he never gave a...
I'd be curious to see
answer
what he
to what he said thought of it. So
shoot,
I'm
by
curious.
His standards, it's probably amazing. He watches all the Jean-Claude straight to DVD garbage.
Yeah, so that's crazy.
Mike, what have you seen?
I haven't actually watched a ton. So instead of watching like TV shows and stuff, instead of watching movies, we've been watching TV shows. I said that backwards and it really messed up my brain there. We've been watching Mad Men. We are in the season 2 now. And I think we just passed where I left off the first time I watched it. And I gotta say, guys, like it's another just example of, it's a great show. Like, there are so many good things out there to watch. I know you don't like Jon Hamm. He is phenomenal. And
his
his character and how,
I don't
like,
believe it.
I swear to God. No, his character, like, you learn more about his character's progression and why he does the things that he does. But the way that he's able to control the scene, and like, he's an ad man in the 1950s.
Okay, 60s. So let me stop you there.
Yep.
That is another big reason. Like, it's first of all, Jon Hamm.
Boring.
Second, I have no interest in watching a show about an ad man in the 1950s and 60s.
It's interesting. It's interesting. I'm telling you, like, and I get it. It's not going to be for everyone, but the way that, because it's really a character study in like, you're following like three or four characters at this point. But to see how different they react and they cope with things, and it's very good show. Very good show.
I mean, I can't argue because everybody loves it, but it's just not one I have such a long list of shows that I would rather watch before I even consider that one. So,
We've been spending a lot of our time. I got Laura into video games, which is a win, I think. But it made me think of that because Sam Neill was in Jurassic Park, but he's also in Hunt for the Wilder People.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the video games that we bought was the Jurassic Park Evolutions game or whatever, mm-hmm. where you're like a park creator. Zoo Tycoon, but with Jurassic Park. It's so great. Oh. It was like $10, and it might be some of the best $10 I have ever spent, because I finally got my girlfriend to understand why, like, you know, you're playing with your friends and you're like, one more match, one more match, one more match. And, you know, you end up playing until 1 a.m.
Yep.
She was over the other day and she was like, well, I'll just build one more building and build one more thing. And then it was like, she usually leaves at like 9 o'clock, and it was like 9:45. And she's like, oh my God, I gotta go home.
Yeah, it's just, it's a thing about video games, man. It's addictive, and it keeps your mind on it. And it's, you just want to keep going. It's just, I need to do this now, and I need to do this. It's like, well, I could do this and still make it to time to bed.
Yep. Oh. By the time you check the clock, though.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep. But yeah, so we've been playing a lot more video games than we normally do. So we haven't actually watched a ton, which is interesting for me.
I might have to buy that game because Carrie has asked to play a couple times, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't know if I have any games really that yep. she would want. Like I got Madden and NASCAR and Call of Duty. That's not really hers. So yep. I bought No Way Out, which is the Prison Break game. We haven't played it yet.
Yep.
But I'll have to try that Jurassic Park. She loves Zook Tycoon or Roller Coaster Tycoon, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to try it out.
It's very much along that lines of Zoo Tycoon and stuff like that. We also bought Gang Beasts, which I didn't think Laura would like, but it's a fighting game with it's like physics based, and she absolutely loves that game too. So I went out of my way because PlayStation just had a store. This is a big tangent. Anyway, PlayStation just had a big sale, so we bought like $40 worth of games to play together. So worth it. Worth
Dang,
it.
Dang, Richie Rich.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of her
can't
doing
even afford to keep your heat on, you're gonna because you're spending on video games.
Instead of her doing a puzzle while you're playing video games.
Mm-hmm. Hey, she freaking loves her puzzles though, so I'm not even mad about it. Not even mad about it. That's all I've seen. Is there any movie news that we missed out on recently?
Not really. They have some Sundance stuff happening right now, so there's been news about who's buying what and the rights to stream and all that, but you know, right now it's just still happening.
I just see movies left and right getting pushed back and pushed back.
Yeah. Saint Maud. That was one that was impacted by COVID. It was supposed to have been released last year. It was on my top 10 most anticipated. Is now going to be, it might be released right now into theaters, but
nice.
It'll be streaming in I think in a few weeks here in early mid February, whatever.
Is that a horror one?
Yeah, A24 movie. Another one of those kind of indie horrors that A24 seems to love to make, and they all turn out to be pretty good. So
That's also, I think this is going along with our director thing. This is definitely a generation where indie films and indie studios are making their renaissance as well, I think, because of the accessibility in cheap gear that is still very high quality.
Yep.
Especially with A24, they're making huge headways because, I mean, horror is such a huge genre. And a lot of the movies coming out of A24 have been really good the past couple of years.
Yeah, they are definitely a titan among the indies, which is kind of interesting to think about.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else before we get in today's episode? By the way, I don't know if I said it off the top of the show. We're reviewing Kingsman.
The first one.
Yeah, it'll
Secret
be
Service.
Yeah, it'll be a title of the episode, so I'm not too worried about it. But yes, Kingsman: The Secret Service. Are we ready to roll into that?
I think so.
All right. So the Kingsman: The Secret Service is 2014 film, rated R, 2 hours and 9 minutes long, action adventure comedy film, a spy. And it's spelled with an S, so I have to say it. A spy organization recruits a promising street kid into the agency's training program while a global threat emerges from a twisted tech genius. Directed by Matthew Vaughn. Screenplay by Jane Goldman and Matthew Vaughn. Is this based off of a...
comic book.
Comic book, okay. I was going to say, it feels like it'd be a novel or some sort.
It's a comic book or a graphic novel. I'm not sure which one it is.
Gotcha. Starring Colin Firth, Taron Egerton, Samuel L. Jackson, Mark Strong, Michael Caine.
Mark Hamill's in it.
Mark Hamill is in it. Who was the female lead?
Sophia Boutella. The assassin lady?
Yes.
Yeah, that's her. Okay. She's in a lot. You'd recognize her. She was in that awful mummy movie. She was in the Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
I think she was in Atomic Blonde. Was she the...
She might have been.
Yeah, I think she was.
Yep.
But if yeah, she's been in a lot recently.
And then who was the other female as well? The spy.
Roxy.
Roxy.
Yeah, I don't know who the actress
is. Sophia Cookson. Has she been in anything else? I thought she was good in this one. She's been
like she was the Huntsman.
She was fine. I maybe we'll get into it more, but I just thought it was kind of funny. It's like she's the one that won the tryouts, and then she was relegated to like, oh, you do this silly little thing while we go on an adventure.
No, she had an important role.
Sure. A mostly off-camera role. You're right.
Well, she wasn't our lead actor.
I'm just saying, so, she was the one that won. She was the best of the bunch.
Well, okay, fair enough. The Kingsman: The Secret Service on Rotten Tomatoes gets a 74% certified fresh from critics, giving it a score of 6.8 out of 10. An audience score of 84% with a score of 4.02 out of 5. The consensus: stylish, subversive, and above all fun, Kingsman: The Secret Service finds director Matthew Vaughn sending up the spy genre with gleeful abandon. So, I'll be honest, I didn't realize how quirky this movie was going to be when I picked it.
Yeah, it's it's like a caricature of the genre, but it's well aware of it. It's in on the joke, yes. And it makes it not
well. I mean, Samuel L. Jackson even like states it throughout the movie. Yeah, like,
there's so many little jabs.
This isn't that type of movie, you know. Yep.
And I think without that, those jokes and that commentary, because there's even that commentary between Colin Firth and Sam Jackson when they're having the McDonald's.
The McDonald's, yeah.
They have that conversation about who is playing whose role, and without that level of intelligence and like being able to poke fun at itself, this movie's not as good, in my opinion. Like,
no, well, I mean, and it's still they were right when in their, I can't remember what they said, something about above all it's fun.
Yes,
that's 100%. I mean, it's kind of just a, it's not a great movie, but man, the action sequences are shot so well, and it's just a blast from start to finish.
And it's the action, speaking of the action sequences, it's shot in a very different way than you would see in a lot of movies.
It's not shaky cam, but it's constantly on the move. It's fluid and dynamic and not like, you know, hold it there and let the actors do the work. The camera is part of the action,
without a doubt.
I actually looked at IMDb at their trivia, and it said that all of the action is framed centrally, so the viewer's eyes never have to leave the center of the frame.
Interesting.
And I think that's part of why it kind of looks weird, is because we're not necessarily used to everything being in the middle of the screen. You're used to your eyes kind of going left and right. But yeah, the action is kind of shaky, but
well, no, I think it's very clear. It's constantly moving. I loved it, by the way.
Yes. So I want to say that I don't know for sure. I didn't do any behind the scenes research, and I dropped the ball on that. But there is this camera that's called a bolt or a volt. I think it's a bolt. Anyway, it's like a robotic arm with a camera attached to it, and it can like whip around and move super fast, and it's all pre-programmed and stuff, and it can shoot at super high frames per second and everything. It's wildly cool. And there were some shots, especially I first noticed it when Colin Firth was taking out those goons in the bar, and
the
camera's like, my bad. The camera's like in front of him, and then it whips around so you see the goons attacking from behind, and then it'll like go over the top of him. Like, there's no other way in my mind that they could have done it without this piece of technology. And it's, I've only ever seen them used in like commercials, and so to be able to use that technology for something like this is just beautiful. And I know it's been used in other movies, I just can't think of any other examples. I don't want to get
I don't know. It may have been used in other movies, but man, sure it stands out because I don't want to say chaotic sounds negative, but it is chaotic, but you never lose track of direction or who's who and what's happening. And
The speed at which it moves is insane, but you're still able to understand what the hell is going on.
Yep. It's like the anti Jason Bourne, where it's creating the action. It's part of the action and it is chaotic, but it's not just this sickness, motion sickness inducing shaky camera. It's good.
Yep. And with that being said, I want to say this. The first time, so this came out in 2014, I was still in college, and I remember having a conversation with one of my college friends. He's like, yeah, I'm going to go see The Kingsman this weekend. And I was like, why? That movie looks so awful. Like, because I remember in the trailer, they had like some of that whipping camera, and it looked very cheesy. And this movie is cheesy in some ways.
Well, I'm not gonna
deny that, but it works within the context of the movie.
Yep.
So I've seen this movie probably 6 or 7 times.
Really?
I've had it since it came out. My wife actually she loves both of these movies. I think I watched it with Aaron.
No, I think you watched, I mean, I you from the start of when this was, I was late to the game on these Kingsman movies, but I know you and Shane had both seen them from the beginning. I know you were a big fan, and you guys had kept, you know, saying how good an action movie it is. I mean, and I think I probably didn't see this until maybe 2 years ago, and it's like, man, I mean, some of the CGI is dated, and it is kind of a quirky movie, but some of
the green screen's pretty bad, like the elevator when they first go down.
I think they do it on purpose.
It had to have been.
When Sam Jackson are in their lair at the end, I'm like, this is probably the worst CGI green screen ever. And I loved it. This movie is everything James Bond should have been.
It's a definite send up to James Bond. They wink and a nod, like, we're James Bond, but we're fun and cool.
I want to actually go back over the history of James Bond a little bit, because James Bond, when like the 50s and 60s, like all the way through the early 2000s, James Bond was kind of quirky. Like,
well, it started off as a serious spy movie, and then it turned like Octopussy and
The guy with the bowler hat that had a
odd job.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
so yes, it was like this weird sort of like over the top spy thing, right? And then Austin Powers came out, and literally the James Bond, like, I'll say brain powers at that be, were like, well, Austin Powers just made every trope and joke that we could have ever made, and they made it 10 times funnier than we could have. So that's when James Bond got Daniel Craig and they started going more serious.
Yeah.
And this is like what James Bond should have been. It is cool. It is funny. It's perfect in a lot of ways in my mind. I was blown away when I saw this movie.
So this movie might be silly. It might be kind of cheesy, but I love both of these movies. The Golden Circle. While not as good as The Secret Service, it's still a blast. It actually has a very long fight scene similar to this one that has Elton John singing in the background. Oh my God. It's just as crazy. It's just as cheesy, but I love both of them. They're fun. I'm not really a fan of Colin Firth, mostly because most of the time he does artsy fartsy bullcrap like Shane would
say. Yeah, that's why it's so fun to see him in something like this.
It's just not himself, not his normal acting, but I think he pulls it off well. And I was telling Carrie last night, Mark Strong is fantastic in this as Merlin. Anytime I see him in this, I'm like, man, he's a really good actor in this.
He's a really good actor, period. And he's got one of those voices that's instantly recognizable and awesome.
He'll give you chills. His voice is literally like, ugh. Like when someone says Mufasa, you know?
Yeah. Like, well, okay, so then let's go to the opposite side of that and look at the absurdity of a lisping Samuel Jackson with his high-pitched voice, and he's just the least imposing bad guy, the least villainous villain they could possibly have, and it works because
he was based off like a Bond villain where he had some type of like physical defect or some type of defect. While I think at times his lisp is kind of
it's not a good lisp.
Awful.
It's hilarious.
He comes in and out. He's like the perfect villain because he hates blood. Like even in the church, even in the church scene, he's like, "Man, turn that down. He got put that on mute.
I can't
like,
watch it."
He's like freaking out. It's something you don't normally see with a villain.
I laughed out loud when Colin Firth exits the church and Sam Jackson shoots him, and he's like,
"Is he dead?
That was awful. Why did he do this? This is terrible."
What? I think on top of that, he's like, when he says, "Is he dead?" And she's like, "Yeah, that's what happens when you shoot somebody in the face."
It's so funny.
And I guess I don't know. Matthew Vaughn did what, one of the X-Men movies before this? I never saw that one because I don't care.
Oh my God.
It's one of the actually more respected X-Men movies.
Stop.
First Class.
None of them are. What? I don't.
First Class was one of the first three or whatever.
He did Kick Ass.
Okay.
And then he did First Class.
Okay. And then he did the Kingsman movies.
Yeah, which, you know, now that I remember, that was the one with Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
That's not
That's terrible. A 7.7 on IMDb. I mean, it's... I haven't seen any of the X-Men movies since the crappy original, so I don't know. But, I mean, I just think I'd like to see more of what he does outside of Kingsman.
Which is interesting because he's doing a third one that's coming out supposedly this year.
Yeah, World War One prequel.
Is it Fiennes?
Yeah.
Fiennes or whatever, yeah.
Which, if it's anything like the first two, I'm sure I'll love it. But yeah, I think I would like to see him do something different to see like just how much of it I like him as a director.
Yeah, I would be interested because as kooky as this movie is and the characters are, you know, nods to the caricatures of past James Bond villains and it's just a really well made movie. I mean, and some of it, I think they jumped the rails a little bit when they did the whole I love the scene, but they did that whole the head exploding scene that was set to music. It was like a stage.
It was
fantastic, but it's like, okay, so now we're just really not taking anything seriously.
Well, dude, at that point, like, you have bought into whatever they're selling you, and it's
they lured you into it because it was such a serious series of events prior, and Eggsy's trapped. And he's call my mom and tell her this and that, and he's like, I'm effed, and Merlin's like, so am I, buddy, and you're like, oh man, this is tough, and it's the sad kind of slow music, and it lures you into, and it's like heads start popping off and exploding, and it looks like fireworks, and it's like, oh, this is absurd. So I thought it fit well, and they did a good job of tricking you into like they lulled you into this, oh god, here we go, serious stuff, and then boom, heads blowing up. So good.
And not only like that aspect where the story and like these things are good, but I felt like the characters were actually pretty realistic in a lot of ways. Like Eggsy basically shows that he's very loyal to the people around him and stuff like that, and then when it comes time to join the Kingsmen and they give him the one task, you know, and that ends up not being the one thing that he can do.
Yeah.
It's well, like,
that's just type of it. He's loyal to a fault. And you see like this dog, like he doesn't know that it's like in his mind, they're just asking him to shoot the dog. Yeah. He doesn't know it's a task.
Right. That's so, what I mean.
To him, he's so loyal that he's not even willing to do this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out later when Colin Firth is like trying
another
to
funny scene.
Oh, trying to explain to him, he's like, he reminds me every time I take a shit.
Yeah, and he's got a stuffed dog over his toilet. Yeah, I mean, I thought as a, I don't know. It's the again. It, everything in this movie is such a borderline or just full-fledged cliche.
Wait.
Hold on.
Sorry. What am I looking at?
You tell us.
Sorry. I just derailed everything, but I went through Matthew Vaughn's IMDb, right? And he has a movie coming out in supposedly 2021 called The King's Man.
Yeah, it's number three.
Yeah. It's right. The prequel.
Right. So hear me out. Okay, yes. But I'm looking through and Merlin is played by a guy named Stanley Tucci, but I swear to God, it looks just like Mark Strong. Am I going crazy?
No, they look similar.
Are they not the same person? What is going on? Just like, my mind is blown because I swear to God, I would have thought that this is Mark Strong.
I mean, Mark Strong is considerably cooler than Stanley Tucci, but they are not the same people.
Interesting. Okay.
Very similar. They're balding. They're both, most of the time you see them wearing glasses. So, I mean, I get it, but like.
No, they definitely have this same face, like big schnoz, bald head,
dude,
glasses.
I was legitimately like, did they label it wrong? Like, what is going on? I was. Oh my God. Actually, I just typed up Mark Strong, and like the third one down is Mark Strong, Stanley Tucci.
They have a side by side photos.
They are the same person. They are the same person. We are breaking new grounds here, guys.
I mean, if it's a search, somebody has already looked it up.
I mean, the pictures of them standing next to each other is ridiculous.
But see, that's why I was audibly like confused.
I mean, the second picture with neither with glasses on. Oh my God. at first I was like,
Mike's being an idiot.
Mike's crazy. And then I just looked at the pictures. I'm like, what is going on? It's nuts.
I told you, I was legitimately like, am I on a wrong page? Am I on some fan page? What is going on?
Oh, there. Go look at. There are. This happens. It's like a doppelganger thing. Have you ever seen Christian Bale and James Brolin side by side? Google that. It's crazy. James Brolin, Josh Brolin's dad, and it's like insane how much they look like each other.
That's crazy. That is very crazy. Have you seen all of the Chris's in Hollywood? Because there's actually like a pretty funny one of all of the different Chris's, like Hemsworth and Pine and all these. They have the same color hair. They have like very similar facial features. It's kind of crazy that once you put them side by side, you notice.
So who are the Hollywood Chris's?
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans, Chris Pine, Chris Hemsworth.
Yep.
So one of them can act.
Pine?
Yeah.
Pine, the one that doesn't get as many movie roles anymore.
Yeah. Now that Mike completely that.
Okay.
Was Mike telling us that Stanley Tucci's getting double auditions because he is Mark Strong.
Was I wrong?
I mean, I guess not. They are the same guy.
One thing I did want to get to was how nuts the church scene is.
Oh boy, 100% top 10 action scene.
The first time you see it, it's never expected. But that scene is just crazy, off the wall, and a blast every time.
Yep, it's one of those scenes where it's cut together to look like a nonstop one shot. Obviously, it's not, but
yeah,
it's. I mean, it's just a Kingsman at the top of his ability, going nuts, out of control because of the bad guy, but just killing all these people, all set to Freebird, which is just a perfect combination.
So Carrie, we were watching it, and I've never looked it up. She asked me if that was shot one scene, and I had never looked it up, but I looked at it. It's shot over 7 days. It features around 130 actors on screen, 20 stuntmen, 30 special actors, and 70 to 80 extras, and Colin Firth.
Yeah. There's some obvious places. They do the same thing like in 1917 where you do, I don't know what it's called, where something goes across the screen.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's all happening fluidly, but it's an obvious point where they put a cut where you couldn't tell there was a cut, but it all looks good. There's some goofy CGI. A lot of the blood splatter is all CGI and some of it doesn't look great. But it all works to, it's such a good scene. I mean, I think even the people that don't like action movies might have fun watching this because it's so fun.
Well, if you like blood and gore as well.
Well, sure.
Because
it is definitely a rated R.
Yeah, there were parts where, like, Laura was the one that brought this movie over. She owned it or whatever. And she's like, I don't like some of these parts.
Oh, stop it.
I was like, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Oh.
So my wife doesn't like blood and guts. But this is one movie she will sit and watch. She won't cover it all. For some, I don't know. She enjoys it's goofy. It's over the top.
Are you sure she likes the movie and it's not like my wife falls asleep all the time during movies way early. She stayed up awake the whole time. I'm like, oh, so all I have to do is watch a movie with well-dressed, sometimes shirtless, very handsome British guys. And she's like, yep, that's all you got to do.
It could be. I mean, in the second one, they bring in Channing Tatum.
Oh, yeah, which is
Magic Mike.
And Jeff Bridges in it. So, I mean, yeah, they're well-dressed. If I could get a suit that looks like that and look as dope as that, I mean, I would. Mike, was this your first time watching it?
Mm-hmm. First time watching it.
Do you have any like big time gripes with it or anything?
Not really. I honestly thought this movie was a blast. I enjoyed it way more than I thought I would. So I'm very pleased with like, and I wish James Bond was like this. I wish James Bond, like, because James Bond is to a point where they're well-made movies, but you don't get the cool gadgets. Like, you get a few of the cool gadgets, but you don't, like, this movie, literally, there's just a scene dedicated to showing you all the cool shit.
Yeah, that's James Bond to me. I mean, it was refreshing, the first movie with Daniel Craig, but it's so, we're on, what, fifth one with him? It's so sapped of any fun.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why Mission Impossible has way overtaken James Bond, because it's still fun. You get the goofy gadgets. I mean,
yeah, you don't get anything fun in James Bond. And this is what James Bond should have been. Like, maybe not to this extent. Like, there are definitely parts where it's too stupid.
Yeah.
But this is what I wanted in like a British spy movie.
One thing I do want to add is this movie is 2 hours and 9 minutes long. And there's no way it feels like that. I mean, this movie feels like an hour and a half. Maybe shorter. It flies by.
Yeah.
There's nothing about this movie that slows down.
Yeah. Agreed.
So there's
it's odd because we talk about how well the action is filmed and how much action there is, but there's a lot of downtime in this movie that never feels it, like the pace never feels interrupted, because even during the downtimes, they're doing their trials and their whatever to become part of the Kingsmen. And at the same time, you're getting bits of information about the villains and bits of information about the actual Kingsmen service and
editing excellency in this movie. Yeah. Cause you're able to tell multiple stories at one time without stopping any flow. This movie is underrated. This So you guys know how much I love 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
I put this in the same category of it's a freaking underrated movie that more people should see. I mean, they might have seen this one over 21 Jump Street, but I think these are in the same category for me.
I think you're crazy for comparing this movie to 21 Jump Street.
Because 21 Jump Street's way better, I know.
I do have number two. So if you ever want to watch number two, let me know and I'll let you borrow it.
Okay.
It's just as off the wall.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, now we have to team up with the Americans, and they all have these ridiculous, like every American just wears a blue jean jumpsuit or whatever you want to call it. Canadian tuxedo. Canadian tuxedo.
That's fantastic.
So like
they got idiotic names like Whiskey and Tango and whatever. It's like, yeah.
Instead of tailors, they are they're like whiskey makers. They make alcohol. My
God, that is fantastic.
Oh yeah.
I love everything about this.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but if you ever want to watch it, let me know and I'll let you borrow it.
Sounds good. I will. I might take you up on that. I did love how everybody had the code name and they were all the Knights of the Round Table.
I freaking love that. Mm-hmm. And Merlin, he's the technical wizard, which makes mm-hmm. sense. And then you had, but there were only ever, what, like three? Because they all kept dying.
There was only three.
Lancelot, Galahad.
Yep.
And Merlin. Mm-hmm.
Well, but there was what was
well the fourth
Arthur
one.
Arthur was
Michael Caine.
Gosh, we never even mentioned Michael Caine. Michael Caine's in this movie, and we're how many minutes?
Right.
Yeah. So he was kind of the leader, Arthur, mm-hmm. and then Eggsy takes over because Galahad was
Firth, right?
Yes. Yeah, Colin Firth, and Eggsy takes over as Galahad.
Yep. God, it's such a great movie. Go ahead.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to say is Michael Caine's kind of a side character for most of the movie until that last scene when he calls Eggsy to come in, and then you really get Michael Caine's best, like telling him why he did this, and then like calling him a dog for switching the poison.
It's a good movie, man. Oh, yeah. I would recommend this to probably almost anybody I know if they hadn't seen it.
Agreed.
Are we ready to rate it?
Yeah. Who wants to go first?
I suppose I can start it if you guys don't want to.
I'll go.
Okay.
I love this movie. I think me and Shane were the first to see it. I think Shane's score would be pretty high as well. These movies are fun. They're blast. They fly by. The action is fantastic. I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Nice.
Well, and I'll add to that. While some of the acting and script may be subpar, I think I can get over it with how much fun this movie is.
See, mm-hmm. and honestly, I thought the acting was fine. And the script shortcoming, all of the... I thought it was pretty genius. I mean, Mike talks about the genius of the 21 Jump Street parody and being so self-aware. I mean, it's the same thing in this movie where it is so cliche and a parody of itself, but it's when you're in on the joke and you're aware of it and you can use that in your story, it's so good. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was pretty great. Well-written movie, very well-directed action. Who's the lead? What's the actor's name? Jeez,
Taron Egerton.
Yeah, he's Egerton. Good.
Yeah, he is.
I think I'm right. I'm close to it. I was thinking 8.25 coming into this. I expected Steve to be up over 9, to be honest. But
I've been debating about where I want to put it. So
I mean, I've been kind of back and forth between like a 9.5 to 8.5. I mean, I love this movie, but there's like some of the side characters are kind of over, like the British Prime Minister is kind of goofy as hell.
The princess that he has to rescue and at the end and bastard is so goofy.
Yeah. So 8.5 is kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. Aaron, what are you at?
8.25.
I'm closer to Steve, and I'm giving it 8.5. So I'm with Steve. But the one thing I wanted to say is, I think I would have rated this higher had it not been for what else I had rated above it. You know what I mean? Because, like, I'm giving this an 8.5.
Oh, so you're looking at your other scores, you mean?
Okay. Yeah. I'm giving this an 8.5. And is it as good as The Town? Probably.
See, that's why I differ from you, is you base your scores based off other movies.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm putting this movie as itself on a 1 to 10 scale.
Sure.
So while we came to the same score,
yeah,
we both I came to it.
I just go with my gut and I'm looking at it. I'm like, okay, so I think I'm pretty well on point with that score because it's right up there with other movies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, In Bruges, The Town, Nightcrawler, The Nice Guy. These are all movies I love. Yeah.
Well, right. I'm not saying I don't love any of these movies, but like the difference between this and like I have Road to Perdition at an 8.75.
Right.
Road to Perdition is better.
Which you're wrong. It's higher.
Stop.
True.
I'm saying like the quality of movie. Anyway.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Do you want to do this or that? Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, real quick.
Yeah, give me one second. I got
to
find
it. Last time I was on, we didn't get a chance to do it.
The final score is 8.42. So this or... Ooh, Audition. You guys remember that one?
Oh, God, this. I mean, Audition's so good, but...
This.
Rewatchability, come on.
This.
This or Take Shelter?
Oh. While I think Michael Shannon is fantastic and Take Shelter, I think this is a... the rewatchability of this movie is a lot higher.
100%. Take Shelter is such a good movie and a better movie. I'd rewatch this.
Yes. Agree. This or Unbreakable?
That.
Unbreakable.
This or Good Will Hunting?
This.
You always get me with this. Uh-huh. Because Good Will Hunting, I mean, that is one of my favorite performances of all time.
But
obviously talking about Matt Damon.
He's going to watch both of them. He's going to watch both of them in the same day. So
yeah. That Robin Williams, man. Oh boy. Now you got me thinking about it.
It's interesting. This or Prisoners. It's a toss up. I love Prisoners.
They're both really good.
Yeah. I gave them the exact same score. This or John Wick.
I go with this.
Yeah, I'm going to say this. While I do love John Wick, I think this is more fun.
I say I say John Wick for the first one, but if it's John Wick 2 or I haven't even seen the third one yet, I think I go this. I think the first one, like, you caught lightning in a bottle and it's such an awesome story. And while the second and third ones are great, I think there's something unique about the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Last one we'll do. This or First Man. Steve, did you see First Man?
Yes, I did.
I think I say First Man. I love that movie.
I say this. Now, I say this 1,000 out of 1,000 times.
I don't know. I think I had First Man as my favorite movie of that year.
I think you might have.
It's such a really well done movie. But again, the rewatchability of this movie, I have to give it to this.
Yeah.
But First Man is a better movie.
Yeah. Actually, one more since it's right next to it. This or Atomic Blonde?
This. While I do love Atomic Blonde, I think...
Yeah, because
this is better.
I agree. This, because Atomic Blonde is an okay movie with one incredible action sequence.
Also, I will say that scene by far is the best out of almost everything I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But I paid attention for the entirety of this movie, and I did. Yeah, the
story surrounding Atomic Blonde is not easy.
Yeah. Yep. All right, so 8.42 for The Kingsman, The Secret Service. Join us online, guys, at moviereviewcrew.com. You can request movies right on our homepage. We haven't done a themed month in a while, so maybe we'll have a return of a themed month coming up here shortly. Maybe we can shoot for March to do something. But yes, get your listener requests in, moviereviewcrew.com. moviereviewcrew@gmail.com or send us an email at podcast@moviereviewcrew.com. Anything else, guys?
Nope.
That's it.
Nope. All right. Matt's got the pick next week. So join us for Matt's pick. Someone in the show.
Tell your friends.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
Good day, sir. Sir, I said good day.
Yeah. See ya.
Hasta la vista, baby.
This has been
the Movie Review Crew podcast. Remember to find us online on your favorite social media apps and go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com.
Linger, man.
Yeah, totally.
Linger.
Hardcore.